All right. Well, as I was just preparing for this time, especially this morning, I was out yesterday morning with my dog, and I was sitting there, and her name is Maverick, and it was kind of a fun time. I have a picture of her up there, and that she's a Great Pyrenees, what is she? Great Pyrenees and Poodle mix. And she's really interesting. But as I was, I say that because I kind of relate to her in some ways. Here I am watching her. She's actually chained up to the trees here. There's these big cottonwoods out in our back. I was sitting there and I had my Bible and I was just praying and just really, just really seeking the Lord about some of the things that he put on my heart for this morning. And I was reminded, she's a lot like I am. She's really kind of a dumb big oaf, you know. She's sitting there staring at me. That's how she looks. The other night, I was sitting in one of the chairs, or no, maybe it was in, I was getting ready for bed, and she looks back at me. You know, she was kind of in front of me. She looks back at me with her eyes and her goofy tongue lolling out of her mouth, and she's just looking there, and you can just see intelligence there, but you can see also this joyfulness, this love of life. And I was going, you know what? I think when the Father looks down on us, he kind of sees that. You know, that there is. We're kind of like that. Dumb oafs wandering around trying to figure stuff out. You know, getting hit by things that we don't even know are coming our way. We're tangled up in the trees and the stuff and wondering how we're going to get out of stuff. You know, and I was just thinking about her as, in my own life. And I was reminded of Romans chapter 1 that says that, you know, the things that were created, they really are there to show us who God is. The things that are seen, they declare the things of God. And creation is awesome in that way, as it declares to us who we are, who God is. It's really an amazing thing that happens in our hearts. So I bring her up as an analogy because some of the things that we're going to talk about today, as I was sitting there, I was realizing, wow, what a great picture of us. And we can all relate to that. And I'm just really thankful for that. But this is the statement that the Lord gave me. And it was that we are fighting, we are in a battle, right? I mean, I think all of you would agree. We are in a battle. We're in a battle that is complicated at times, and yet in some ways it's super simple. But we are in a battle. But the thing is we're fighting from a place of victory with spiritual weapons that God has given us. We are fighting a battle. In the young adult study a couple of weeks ago, I made a statement that I think was from the Lord. Sometimes it's really hard for us to distinguish what really is the spiritual side of things in this battle. What is really the spiritual side of things? And what really is the carnal nature of this battle? The things that we struggle with. Do you get what I'm saying there? Sometimes we like to go to the place where, the battle is all spiritual and we go there and we're just, you know, but sometimes that's not really true. Sometimes it's things that are going on in me, that are inside of me, that are driving something in me. And you know what? I can't answer that question for you today. Here I am. I bring this question up, but I can't really answer that. And that is why it's so important that we have fellowship one with another, that we're reading the Word of God, that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our life, and we take time in our lives to give God place so that he can help us with discernment. Because the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He is there to give us clarity in our lives. This is something that is really important for us to see about the Spirit of God. He takes the objective things that God has said in his word. The Spirit of God takes those objective things, the things that seem to be very black and white. He takes those things and he places them and gives us understanding and wisdom in the subjective areas of our life where it's difficult to know what is going on, where it seems gray and weird. But the Spirit of God is there to direct us from those objective things that Jesus has said and that the Word communicates to us into the subjective areas of our life. I mean, we've got so many subjective things here. I mean, where in the Word does it talk about this? You know? Where in the Word does it talk about a TV show? Where in the Word does it talk about, you know, your work relationship with your coworkers? You know, sometimes we're dealing with things that are really difficult for us to discern, and it's so important that we have the Word of God flowing in and out of our lives, that we have the Spirit of God connected there so that we can make decisions that glorify the Lord and that push Him to the front of our lives. This spiritual battle that we are in, there are definitely some points that Scripture gives to us, and I just really want to remind you of some of the Scriptures there, because I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today. I don't know where, you know, the situations of life have been taking you. I'm not sure the difficulties that you're experiencing and what those really are. But I do know that God's Word gives us the tools that we need to not just, you know, function, not just live out these days, but really to be effective for the kingdom of God, to really live life the way that God intended us to live life. And so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read down through this. This is kind of a basis for my thoughts this morning, but we're going to go off into a bunch of different scriptures. Jeff was talking about in Revelation, and I've really enjoyed the time that we've been spending in Revelation. There are some amazing things that just really come to us. But last week, he was really talking about Satan and the spiritual battle that we're in. And he shared a lot of scripture that was really good about that battle. And it was specific to, you know, the end time and that situation when Satan actually has access and is free to roam on this earth and to do the things that, you know, God has allowed him to do. And that is, it's really good for us to see that, and it's really good for us to understand that Satan just doesn't have free reign to do whatever he wants. Don't you think that that is, don't you think that that is a freeing concept for us as people? He just doesn't rule and reign however he wants. No, God has limits. God has put limits on him. And we see that very clearly in the book of Job, where even back in the Old Testament, God put limits on Satan. Satan could not do the things that he wanted to do. He could only do what God allowed him to do. That is a principle that is super important for us as believers, because that instills confidence in God, who is in control, that he, and it brings us to that place of authority, that God is the authority. And that's really important. That's really important for our lives. It's really important that we find our authority in God. And if we don't, then the spiritual battle becomes overwhelming, it becomes fearful, we become scared, we operate out of, you know, our insecurities and all of these things. But when we put God at the authority, then we can rest in the things that he has said and the promises that he has made. And that gives us victory. We are fighting from a place of victory. Here, this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Read with me if you have your Bibles open. I got it up there as well. But this is what it says. It says here, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war." Sorry, I got my iPad up here, and I've got a few little notes scribbled here. But it's got to have my thumb to, you know, open it up, and it keeps on shutting off. So anyway, okay, here we go. Verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we have to understand what the context of this passage actually is, okay? This is in an interesting context. Paul here was talking about what was going on in the church. There were some other people that had come into the church and that were claiming that Paul didn't have the authority, that he wasn't, you know, that he was this, that he was that. Essentially, they were saying that he was just walking in the flesh. And Paul is saying here that no, he walks in the flesh, and we have to understand that. And we can identify with that as well. We do. We walk in the flesh, don't we? We walk in this physical way. We have been given this physical body, and we walk in it. You know, the idea of walking in it isn't just, you know, putting 2 feet in front of each other. When Scripture talks about walking, it is the way that we live our life. It's the way that we live, not just how we walk. But it comes down into the things that we say, the places we go, the thoughts and the intents that roll around in our brain. That's the walking that the Bible is talking about. How are we walking? Well, Paul is saying, well, we walk in this flesh with this body, but we do not, listen to what he says here, we're walking in this body, but we do not war according to the flesh. So it's not with the weapons of our natural self. We're not, this war is not fought by just the things of this body. It's not fought, it's not won. That's not the way we do battle. And that's what Paul is saying. He's not just using the things of his own nature, his own walking. And that's really important for us to see that. I don't know about you guys, but back to that place in my life, where is this battle coming from? What is it? What is this battle? How do I fight this battle? How do I fight these things? How do I fight, you know, how do I fight depression? There's a good one for you. Where does that come from? Is that spiritual? Is that physical? Is that emotional? Is that chemical? These are all the things that race around in our lives. What is the battle here? Where is it coming from? And really, in reality, it could be all of those mixed together, and that's what makes it so confusing. At times, that spiritual battle that we're fighting and the war that we have in this life. Because all of those things are jumbled together, and here we are trying to figure those things out. And that's why it's so important that we're in the Word of God, to be able to give us discernment in that. I don't know how many times the Lord, in the time that I spend with Him, where he speaks right into my heart through the passage of Scripture. And it takes me by surprise. Have you had that kind of experience in your life? I really hope so. I really hope so. Because that is the life of Christ coming out. And I just don't want to leave you in that spot of hoping that you do. There's ways that you can experience that. First of all, you got to come to that place where you're giving the Lord time, where you are allowing him to do his work in your heart. And then there's the attitude. You know what? Every time I sit down and read my Bible, it's not like God just speaks to me. It's not like he just pours out and all of a sudden there's all this wisdom that comes out. No, no. The majority of the time, it's difficult. It's dry. I've got boogers in my eyes that I'm trying to clean out because I'm so tired. You know, I'm just being real. Because that's where we are. We're tired from the things of life. But I find myself, when I'm in that time, recognizing that and coming to a place of realization. And then when I realize where I'm at, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that. Oftentimes, I write it in my little journal that I have there. I'll just write it down. I'll just write that stuff down. And there's something that really frees me in that. And a lot of times I'm confessing and saying, Lord, I'm just not there. And I find that as I write that out and as I give it to the Lord, all of a sudden when I look back at the Word, it becomes alive. There's a process of humility, and you're going to find that as we read through all this and as I talk, I mean, communion, it just all comes back to that humble heart and that attitude of really submitting ourselves to the Lord and allowing him to do what he has promised to do in our lives, getting out of the way. And that's what I have to do. I have to get out of the way. And I think that that is really what Paul is saying here. I walk in the flesh, but I choose to not war with the things of the flesh. So what are the things of the flesh that maybe he's talking about there? How about envy? We do stuff out of envy. Here he's being spoken of against. You know, there are people there that are tearing down the ministry that he started there. You know, maybe there was envy in his heart. Maybe there were things in his life where he was really feeling that. And the bitterness that comes from envy, the unforgiveness that is there, you know, that has an effect on our hearts and our lives. You know, out of that comes words of maybe manipulation. Maybe that can be a weapon of our carnal nature, can it? I mean, where we're manipulating things. How about justification? That's another big one. Here we are justifying our actions. You know, he could justify, they kind of all fit together. You know, saying something manipulative and then justifying it because of the circumstances and where we're at. You know, Paul's saying, no, I didn't use those kinds of weapons. I didn't use those natural tendencies that I have as a person. I used the weapons that are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what we want to look at this morning is I just want to remind you guys of some of the scriptures that really give us that idea of what are the weapons that we have to fight the battles that we're in. And the other part of this that we really need to understand is that there are strongholds. And a stronghold, when we think about that, it was a military term that was used for a place where the enemy was entrenched. And oftentimes, I mean, if you've watched war movies, you've read war books and things like that, you know, oftentimes it's on a place of high ground. It's a place that's difficult to get to. It's a place that's deceiving. It's a place down in, you know, a bunker or something like that. You know, there are these, there's an element of deception that's involved in this. And that is so true in what the enemy does. If you think about it, there are high places in our lives that on the surface look okay, but they need to be torn down. They need to be torn down. And the weapons of God, the weapons that he gives us, they are for the pulling down of strongholds. They are for the pulling down of those things in our lives that are there. And one of the places that is really important to understand is casting down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then we have this really applicable idea here, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So important that we understand, oftentimes that's where the battle begins, doesn't it? It begins in the mind. How many times have you been laying on your bed at night thinking of that situation that just has you down, that stronghold in your life? And you're just sitting there thinking about it, rolling it over in your mind. Maybe it was something that somebody said. Maybe it was something that you said. Maybe it was, you know, something in a relationship. Maybe it is something that maybe it was pornography that you were watching on the internet. And it's something habitual that you are really having a hard time letting go of and letting God take that from you and living in victory. You know, the battle really begins there in our mind and where we go in our thinking, where we allow our mind to go, because we do have control over that. We do have control over the things that we think. I don't understand how the enemy can bring temptation into my mind. I don't know where thoughts come from. I've thought about that a couple times and read some things on it. How much control or how much power does the enemy really have in our lives? You know, how can he control? Is he able to do that? Is he able to plant thoughts? And I think that is true, that there is a matter of that. But, you know, there has to be something there A lot of times there's something there. That's what I was reading. I can't remember who it was in some commentary. Somebody was saying that they were talking about that battle that they're in and what the enemy has and how he can get into our lives. And it reminded me of Ephesians that talks about not giving a foothold to the enemy. Because a lot of times we read something or we see something and then it gives an opportunity for that to be drugged back up into our heart and into our mind. And we end up thinking over it and thinking about it. And it lodges deeper and deeper in our heart. It's hard to know exactly all of that, how it all kind of fits together. It's not like you can just take a little bit of it and just take it away. It always fits together and it comes together. And that's the way that deceiving nature and that lying nature of the enemy is. And of Satan. It is taking that thing. And oftentimes we come to that point where we actually give ground that he is able to stand on. And we need to be careful of that in our mind. Another, obviously, a scripture that we really want to go to see the weapons that God has given to us is Ephesians chapter 6. Where it's talking about the whole armor of God. And I know there are a lot of teachings out there on the armor of God, and I don't necessarily want to just, go through all of this, but I just want to remind you that the Lord has given us these weapons. The Lord has given us weapons to fight this battle. And it says there in verse 10 of chapter 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a couple of statements there or words there that I want to draw your attention to. The first one is be strong in the Lord. It's really important that we realize that the battle that we are in, it's not something that we can conquer, that we can be victorious on our own. There's just no way. We are to be strong in the Lord. It doesn't say there, be strong in Aaron. Be strong in yourself. Just do the right thing. No, I've done that. Have you tried to do and fight the battle in your own strength? More times than I even know. Because it comes so naturally to try to do it in my own strength, to try to make my way in my own power, in my own thinking, in my own wisdom, in my own ideas. That is so contrary to the victory that we have in Christ. It is completely against that. No, the only victory that we have, it's in being strong in the Lord. The other one that goes right with that is put on the whole armor of God. It's not my armor. It's not something that comes from who I am. It's not something that I dreamed up and thought was great and that I can just take and use on my own authority. No, it is God's armor that he has given. It comes back to that place of authority. Where is your authority? Where are you living your life? Who is your authority? I mean, we see that so messed up in our world around us. People living by their own authority. There's been a lot that has been mentioned about people walking away from the church right now. There's been some big names of people. Well, a couple. There's only a couple. That's the funny thing about this whole thing. There's a lot of people that are walking away from their faith, I'm sure, or really struggling in their faith. But when they're... A couple people that are big names or whatever come out, the whole church, what's going on here? Why? We have to reevaluate everything. Well, it's true. People do. We walk away. But you know what? One of the issues, and I think the foundational issue in all of that, is who is your authority? Who is your authority? Where do you get your truth? Do you get it from just the way you feel? I mean, because that was some of the questions that were out there. Well, none of these questions are dealt with. How can a loving God send people to hell? That was one of the questions that one of them said. He had a list of all these questions that he didn't feel like the church was dealing with. Well, those questions have been dealt with. For 2,000 years, people have been asking those questions. Where is the personal struggle? Where is the personal investing into finding out what those questions really are? Not just reacting out of how I feel about it. You know, how do I feel about these things? Because then I become my own authority. If I just go on through life the way that I feel about things and what makes sense to me, then I am the central authority dictating the things of my life. No, these questions come down to a place of authority in our life. Who is our authority? These verses completely and totally bring us to that place that we are to be strong in the Lord. It is His authority only. We are to put on His armor. It is His armor. It comes from Him, the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe. And we can put that on. And then there's this point of rejoicing. Wow, thank you. Lord, you've given me these things that I can walk in. I can have victory. I got to do my fingerprint here again. This is not working out very good. Okay, the place of victory. We are in a place of victory, and I just want to show you that from Colossians. This is a great passage that really speaks to the victory that we have in Christ. I love this passage. And it's in the context of legalism, which is something that we don't have the form of legalism necessarily that the Jews were walking in at the time. They had the whole religious system and the sacrificial system. It was difficult. They were trying to put that onto the Gentiles as they came into the church. And this was written in light of that. But for us, we have our own kind of legalism in our lives, trying to do things, trying to make it work, trying to be the authority on all of these areas of our life, trying to figure things out and doing it in our flesh, fighting this battle with the weapons of our own self instead of allowing God to do it in us. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. This is what Jesus did. This is what we celebrated this morning. Having wiped out the handwriting, and he's talking about the cross of Jesus Christ, it wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And then verse 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. There's a couple things I want to point out to you. Early on there, it talks about the handwriting of requirements that was, you know, against them. That was the law. He's referring to the law that was there, the ceremonial law. That had been fulfilled by Jesus. He just didn't, you know, he didn't say that it didn't matter. He didn't take it out and God made a mistake in the old covenant and that wasn't quite right. No, God had a purpose in that law, but Jesus fulfilled it with the law of love. And Jesus says that he fulfilled that. And we've moved on into this place that God has given us, this power in the new covenant that he has given to us. And it says there in verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. There we go. There is that spiritual battle that we're talking about. The battle, the spiritual things that are there, he has disarmed the principalities and the powers. And he made, not just disarming them, you guys know what disarm mean, right? I mean, take away the weapons. The weapons aren't there. They're not effective anymore. They're not effective. They don't do what they were made to do. So what are those? What are those things that he disarmed? How about the lies? That's one of the huge weapons, maybe the biggest, because it comes out of the character and the nature of Satan. It comes out of who he is, the lies. He's disarmed the lies. He's disarmed them. I'm so thankful for that. How many times rolling around on your bed, you got these things rolling through your mind, the lies of the enemy. Deceiving you, making you ineffective for the gospel. I mean, some of the basic ones that we believe all the time. Well, I don't know if I really want to share the truth with that person because they might whatever. I don't know what that is. It's a lie of the enemy. Because we're fighting from a place of victory. I don't want to give up my bitterness. I don't want to give up my unforgiveness. I don't want to give these things up. Because, you know what? Who's going to stand up for my rights? Who's going to, you know, nobody thinks I'm important. You know, if you've been in bitterness, if you've been in a place of unforgiveness, what are the lies that are there? Think about that. Because those are the weapons of the enemy. Those are the lies that come in and they deceive us and they keep us from experiencing and walking in the freedom of Christ. We can't let go because no, we don't think that somebody cares for us or that somebody sees the situation, that there's not equality, that nobody is working for our benefit. I mean, when you say that out loud, doesn't it sound horrible? It does. But I've been there. I've been in that place. I've been in that place of conviction about those things. You know what? We have to dive deep into that. We have to. You will not have freedom if you don't allow that thought process to take form in your life. And you know, counseling is really good. You know, it's a good thing. And the reason I think counseling is really good is because it's really good for you to talk to somebody and hear what comes out of your mouth. That's why counseling is effective, because you come to a place of knowing, oh my gosh, I thought that was that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy. But no, when you admit those things and when they come out of your mouth, you end up realizing, oh my gosh, I've been listening to these lies. That's me. That's me. That is the point of repentance. Where we walk. We walk in that place of repentance. That's the power of God that comes in and can free us from the things that we say. Yeah, I don't struggle with pornography. It's that guy over there, that guy over there, that guy over there. Oh, no, it's not a big deal. I can do no big deal. No, you have to come to a place of humility in your life to break that cycle, to break that thing in your life. You have to take control of the things and the thoughts that are in your mind. You have to allow God to have that. You have to admit that you are that bad. That's where victory comes from. That's where power for the Christian life comes from. It comes from that place of repentance and humility. It's the only place. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So it's super important for us to understand that humility is at the core of what God has in his victory for us. That's the process that disarms the principalities and the powers. Another thing here on top of that is he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, we don't really see that. We haven't really seen that. One of the awesome things about going through the book of Revelation, and I think for us as believers right now in this church age, is that we are going to be able to see that victory. We're going to be able to watch that victory. At the cross, there was victory. There was a spiritual celebration. I can't imagine how eternity and how, you know, the spiritual world was just turned upside down by what Jesus did at the cross. We should probably think about that a little more. We always think about it in terms of what happened for us and what it did for us. But man, there is a spiritual world out there that rocked the spiritual world because it was victory. And it says here that he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, there may be some ways that we can look at that. For sure, in the spiritual realm at that time, victory was known. Victory was declared. And I don't know how that was. I don't know what it will look like. Heaven erupting when Jesus rises from the dead, the angels amazed at what was going on there. thankful and grateful for the faithfulness of God that he promised this and seeing it unravel from their perspective? Wow, awesome. No wonder they are around the throne of God praising his name, but also longing to look into the affairs of men, wondering, what is going on? How is this going to work? And that comes to the other one. You know what? When we live in the victory of Christ, we are parading about the victory of Christ. When we live in the power of God, we parade. We parade and we make a spectacle to the world that the things of the enemy have no hold on us. And that may be the bigger spectacle that happens in our lives as we lend ourselves to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit, as he brings his victory through our lives, as people around us are like, who is that guy? Wow, what is going on there? Because that's what happens when the true power of God and the victory of God comes to life in the mortal flesh that we have. People walked away from Jesus' teaching saying, we've never seen God like this. We've never even seen anything like this. That's the reaction that we can have in this world. That's the reaction that victory in our lives should produce in our situations and how we live out the victory that God has given us. The end of Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it talks about Jesus in that humble place. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. I'm not going to go there right now because I'm running out of time, which, wow, crazy. I'm going to believe how fast time goes. But there is victory there that Jesus is over everything. It was by his humility that he was able to enter into that. We have been equipped. Obviously, we were looking there at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just read down through that real quick. I just want to remind you of these things, okay? I'm not gonna expound on this. I just want you guys to remember this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amazing that we have been given these spiritual weapons to protect our head, the belt plate of, or the, yeah, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, girded with the belt of truth. You know, that's what disarms the lies of the enemy, is the belt of truth that God has given to us. There are so many, I mean, there's lots of sermons that you could teach on just this portion of scripture. But my desire here is that you know where this is at, that you know that this is here, that you take time to read it, to pray over it, and to remember to put on the armor that the Lord has given to you and that he has given as something for victory in your life. These weapons have been given to us by God, it says there, and we talked about that. I just want to share with you another scripture that really relates to that. That relates to, obviously, the belt of truth, which Jesus has given to us and that we have in the victory of Christ. But here, listen to this. This is the working of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, because that is huge. When we look at what God has called us to be and how he has placed us in the world, the working of the Holy Spirit is essential, that we put on the armor of God, that we put these things on, and that we know the truth of who God is. But look at what it says here in John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That is huge. That is a game changer for you. It's a game changer for me. That the Holy Spirit has been given, that he would be able to take what is Jesus's and who Jesus is, the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit takes the things that God has said, that Jesus said. He takes those things and he declares them to us. He declares that. He speaks it into our life. The question becomes, am I listening? Do I hear? Do I know his voice? You know, this isn't something that is maybe or with a couple people or with, you know, hopefully this happens in your life. No, this is a declaration that this is what the Holy Spirit does. It's his ministry. It's what he does. He doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't take the authority that he has. There's that idea of authority once again. It's not just whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. No, he is under the authority, the working of the Father. He's under the working. He's under the authority of Jesus. And he takes the things of Jesus and he declares them to us. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want. That's life. That's newness of life. That's victory. To remind us of what Jesus has done, to remind us of the cross, to remind us of the truth of who Jesus is and what God has done. We don't have to just be tossed around by the winds of doctrine, by the cultures of men, by the thoughts of people, by the insecurities of our own flesh. We have been given this inner victory that comes from the Holy Spirit, that declaration of who God is, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. That is amazing. It's an amazing gift that God has given to us and an amazing weapon. It's like the power of the weapons that God has given to us, the truth, the righteousness, all of that. And I just want to also bring your mind to a couple of scriptures here that really put into perspective, because we have that battle on the outside, and we've talked a little bit about that, you know, in the spiritual sense of the enemy coming against us, some of the weapons that are there, but they lodge within us, don't they? And this is the interesting thing, that we have been given weapons on the outside, but we have also given weapons that cover this life of ours, this flesh that we walk in. Look at what Colossians talks about here. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised, verse 1 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, righteous or filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. There's a putting off. So underneath this armor that God has given, there is a robe of righteousness that he has given to each one of us. There's a robe of righteousness that we put on that consists of these things. It doesn't consist of these things. It consists of the new nature, which is defined in Galatians chapter 5, that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That the righteousness, the character of Christ coming out of who we are. And it is that righteous garment. We've looked at, chapter 3, a couple places in Revelation where it talks about the saints robed in the white garments of righteousness. Oh, that's awesome. We are in that right now. We are to put off that old garment, that old thing that we are walking in. We are to put on that new garment of righteousness, and then we're to put on the armor of God that comes over that and gives us those weapons and that place of peace that the Lord wants us to live in. Just a beautiful picture of really that what God has given to us for this battle that we're fighting. But it all goes back to that place of humility, and that's what I see in that putting off and putting on. That place of recognizing, you know, who we are and putting on and making that decision to walk in what Christ has given to us. Another verse that I just want to just bring to your mind is Romans chapter 13. It gives us, it's a real short verse here that really gives us, but it packs a real punch, and it talks about what we've just been talking about, but kind of from a different angle. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is how we walk in victory. We put that righteousness on. We put that righteous character of Christ on. We put on that fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then we make no provision for the flesh. And I think that's where I really struggle. You know, I leave a backpack at the door, or I stuff it in the closet. You know, for a time when I need my time, my self time. I need something for me that pacifies, you know, the difficulties of life or the difficulties of situation, and I pull that out. You know, it could be anything. Could be anything that we stash there that gives the enemy a foothold in our heart and our life to come back and to bring the lies of the enemy in. Oh, you're just not good enough. Remember yesterday what you did? Remember what you did? How could you do that? You'd always do that. And all of a sudden, I'm questioning, well, dang, I don't even know if I'm saved. Have you been there? But it comes back to that. I left the backpack there by the door, ready to go whenever I feel like I need that. No, when the Lord gives us, you know, when the Spirit of God puts his finger on something in our life, we need to let it go, get rid of it, kick it out. Don't make and don't give a provision for Satan to come back and accuse you before the Lord or to accuse yourself. It's really important that we realize that. You know, I was struggling with some things just in my mind and my thoughts a while back, and I started to take, and I have to really confess that these scriptures here were things that I was writing out in my journal. I don't know how many times I've written them out, but I just wrote them. I just started writing them down, writing those things down. Man, the Lord gives victory when we do that, when we take something like that, that's spiritual, and we just take time to let it soak into our lives. And I wonder, you know, how long do I have to do this, you know, before it's all gone? Well, the fact of the matter is, we're dealing with this flesh. We are. We're dealing with the things that we are, I call it the doo-doo passage, and I don't have it up there, Michelle, but it's the passage in Romans chapter 7. You know, the things that I know that I should do, I don't do those things. The things that I, you know, I wish that I would do, you know, the things I know I shouldn't do, I'm doing those things. And there's just this, it's kind of confusing you know, about what he's saying there, but the fact of the matter is we are in this body. There is sin and it's attached and hooked to this body. We deal with it all the time. And it's something that we have to be very careful with to walk in the victory of Christ, that we would make no provision for the flesh. The last verse that we really want to look at this morning, the last verse is in Hebrews. And it brings me back to my dog, Maverick, to end here with this. Verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." There is our victory right there, in a nutshell. This is the battle that we are fighting. We're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, by one another, by the things that God has done in our lives, by the history of the saints. We're surrounded by this ministry of faith. Let us lay aside, and this is where faith comes into the picture. Let us lay aside these weights and these sins. You know, you can see, I don't know, is Maverick up? No, she's not. But you can see that she's kind of entangled in all of these trees and this stuff there. But she looks at me with these eyes that are expectant. She knows, hey, come, help me. Get me out of this. You know, she knows because she's chained up to that. She knows where her help is, where it's going to come from. That's the idea here, that we would lay aside those things, that we would look to Jesus because he's the one that wants to come. He wants to save us. He wants to lead us in to that victory because he is victory. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. And he in himself, he took on the sin of the world in this willing way that we celebrated with communion. It's just a glorious work that Christ has done in our hearts and our lives. And my prayer for you guys, my heart for you guys, is that you will go back to these verses, read over them, that they will be something in your life that you can go to, that you can find the weapons that you need in your certain situation as the Spirit of God speaks to you through his word and he reveals what is needed for that time that you are in, for whatever it may be. Lord, we just really thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word that you have so freely given to us. It's amazing when we look at the history of the world and we look at the writings that were written down by normal men, that were compiled by men. Lord, that we're faithful to you. We're just really thankful that you preserved it, that we can actually have it as an authority in our lives. It's amazing how you have set it to be something that is written, but it's also something that is living as you fill it in our lives. Lord, I just really pray that for all of our hearts this morning. We need it. We need the life of Christ. We need your working. Lord, we need your Spirit. Lord, we need you to take of what you have freely given and to make it come alive in our hearts and our lives. Lord, may we be in that humble place of just looking to you, letting your Spirit, letting your word, letting you do what you so want to do in our hearts and our lives. And I just thank you for each one that's here this morning. May you be glorified in our lives. Lord, may our lives be a parade of your victory in the world that we live in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.